What's up, everyone? This is John Wood of the Football Pick'em Podcast, and you're listening to Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to, time and time again, not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play!
The guy can fly, Vid, but he can't lay down a freaking bunt. I was laying down bunts in Little League.
They could have been down.
Your team dude last night.
It was a pathetic performance. I will admit that. We're not talking about the Devils.
If Westwood wins a major, I will take you guys to the U.S. Open next year. How about that?
Lee's going to shoot 61 all four rounds.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You just got to go buy your beach balls before you arrive at the fourth inning. I get
oh,
it.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
1, 2, 3. Mets. 1, 2, 3. Mets. 1, 2, 3. Belief. 1, 2, 3. Magic. 1, 2, 3. Ooga. 1, 2, 3. Shaka. 1, 2, 3. Gritty. 1, 2, 3. Duddy. 1, 2, 3. Let's do this, Mets! 2012!
And down goes Martin's wiener.
That's outrageous!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City. Brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans! It's a pleasure to have you here for the big Monday night post-game program here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. Good to have you with us from here from West LA tonight, where it has been a real cluster show of things up in the Jets. Oh, God. So much fun. So much fun. But hey, give it to the Jetsies. They hung in there. And gave a game against the Houston Texans tonight, who everybody said was the best team in the AFC. Hey, look, maybe they are the best team in the AFC. I don't know if that's really saying much because AFC looks pretty weak this year. And even the Broncos go in with Peyton Manning, and then they have laid a few eggs so far against the one against the Patriots. But here they are against the Jets tonight at the Meadowlands. Did I say that right? Meadowlands, a MetLife Stadium, home of Snoopy Dogg and all the excitement. Lucy and Charlie Brown and Schroeder too. Oh God, that's great. That's really great. And the Jets seem to play like peanuts for a part of the game. But you know what? Let's give them a little credit. I mean, you know, a lot of people thought they were going to get blown out of the game, have absolutely no say in the outcome whatsoever. That was not the case. Hey, give them credit. Their defense stayed strong throughout a good part of the game, except for one area, the run game. They sucked at that. They were letting Arian Foster run all over the field. Foster had a touchdown. Foster ran for, let's see, how many yards? Millions of yards. Yeah, 152 yards. And on 29 carries and no fumbles on the game. So that was obviously a problem for the New York Jets tonight. But other than that, they were pretty good. As far as the offense was concerned, okay, their offense is ugly. We knew that going into the game. We knew that. I mean, there's no way that there was nothing else about it that suggested otherwise. Mark Sanchez still can't throw. He was still good for an interception. He still could barely top 250 for passing yards. His quarterback rating was under 60. That's bad. I'm sorry, but you know, at some point, the Jets are going to have to cut bait with this guy, and maybe that point is coming up now. I mean, come on! You know, I mean, you've been through like 3 years of this already with this guy. I mean, enough is enough. Enough with this guy. Holy mackerel. Yoy. But anyway, the Jets held strong despite all that. Despite their complete disorganization in the fourth quarter, despite that absolute junk play at the end of the game, which I don't know what the hell happened there, despite all of their misgivings, despite the interception at the end of the first half, they were within 20 yards of a touchdown. And then freaking Sanchez throws a screen pass down the middle like a slant. It was tipped by like this guy on the team on the defense of the Texans, J.J. Watt, tips it in the middle and then causes an interception, and the Texans really took the life out of the Jets in the first half. And then I was like, oh my God, that looks like they're done. They weren't done. So give the Jets credit for their resilience at home at MetLife Stadium, but my God, they looked... But that could have really made it put the pressure on the Texans. I'll tell you what. Jets kept it going. They knew they didn't have much of an offense to work with. They worked in Tebow as much as they could. Tebow actually tried a couple of passes. Some of them were pretty good. Some of them were worthless. But they are at least trying. And that's the thing about the Jets. They didn't quit. They could have very easily quit on this game. They didn't. And so, when you put it all together, the Jets tried their best but still came up short and lost today to the Texans 23-17. Well, the Jets really, you know, I mean, they're at a point now with the Jets season where I think it is reasonable to expect them to try different things. And I think they kind of did. Running the Wildcat once in a while, not very much, but they did it once in a while. Throwing in Tebow in certain situations. They tried an onside kick after their punt return score. Things like that are signs of a team that's willing to take chances because they got nothing to lose. And the Jets are at this point right now. They really aren't going anywhere. We knew that before the season started. We know that's going to end up being the case at the end of the season. They couldn't really do much more than a 9-7 season. 9-7. So, with that all in place, it was impossible to think the Jets were going to try to be tied in this game, play ultra-conservatively. I mean, they did look conservative on times, but that's just because they can't throw the ball. And I'm telling you, Sanchez looked like... I mean, his passes were so weak. He had like 3 good passes in the game. And they were good, mind you. They were serious passes. But 3 good passes... 3 serious good, seriously good passes out of 31 is not going to be enough to win you a game. And even though Matt Schaub does not have his A game tonight, and he really didn't, I mean, I'm telling you, he had a lousy 50% completion percentage. He had an interception that really kept the Jets in it in the first half. Schaubsies was not looking too hot on this night. So, you know, all told, the Texans kept the Jets in the game. They did not play well, really. I mean, thank goodness for Arian Foster being such a great asset tonight, because otherwise their team was not getting it going on. Think about it. Think about this. Without Darrell Revis, it was up to Antonio Cromartie and Kyle Wilson to keep the Texans at bay. And would you believe they did exactly that? And for their part, you know, Owen Daniels had a nice night. But Andre Johnson... You know, everybody talks about, he had only one reception tonight for 15 yards. That is it. So give the Jets a lot of credit for defending him well, because the Jets knew that if the Texans could successfully stretch the field, they had no chance. So they sent everybody back. They were going after it, and they needed Cromartie to step up big, and he really did. I mean, he played really well. He had the interception in the game. When Schaub threw the interception, it was Cromartie on the other end of it, so he did a pretty good job tonight. So, I don't know that Cromartie's overrated. He kind of cuts in and tries to cheat and route and so on, trying to make a big play. But tonight, he got the job done, so give him his just due, because that's what you got from him tonight. Yeah, that's the deal. You know, so the Jets, here you have it. They fought hard, but they just didn't have enough to get it all done tonight. The losers 23-17 to the Texans. The Texans were due for a letdown game. This was that game, but they managed to be good enough to win the game despite the fact that it was close throughout a lot of the way. And here's the thing about the Texans that always intrigued me. The Texans had some very easy opponents and laugher games in the first month of the season. I was waiting for them to be in a close game to see what would happen, because I knew Gary Kubiak is a terrible coach. Absolutely miserable coach. And so in a close game, he was going to just be boneheaded enough to keep the Jets within striking range. That is what happened in the second half, and the Jets just didn't have the offense to get it done. But you knew that they had a chance, and it's because I don't think Kubiak keeps his team prepared for these games. There you have it. And now the Texans still won, so the Texans are still rolling. Texans keep on going. Next week, the Texans will be going out, and they will play. We'll figure out about the Texans later. But the Jets, even though they lost, I think they can hold their heads up a little higher, and they will be preparing themselves for Indianapolis next week. And so with the Colts, you know, the Colts are a decent team right now. I mean, they're not supposed to be a good team, and they probably won't be a good team, but they're competitive, and that's what you want in the NFL. And with Andrew Luck, I think they're going to have a chance because he's certainly proving himself out to be an amazing quarterback so far. And it's really remarkable when you really think about it. Guy in his rookie season manages to keep his team and lead them to a couple victories, including this week against the Packers. We'll get into that maybe a little later on, if not tonight, then on Wednesday night. Point is, Luck is the real deal, and I think the Colts did a wise thing trying to set up the draft so that they could get him on the team. Well, there he is, and now he's getting the job done. For the Texans, they will take their talents. They will take their talents from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey out to the yonders of Green Bay. My God, that's going to be a tough one on a short week on NBC Sunday Night Football. Oh, man. But the good news is, I think they're going to be at home for that one, as it turns out. So Houston at home against Green Bay, and you know, the Packers certainly look vulnerable at this point, but I think that's going to be a great game, and I think that I really do, honestly. I think that the Texans would have a very good shot at winning that one. So all told, pretty much what you expected, except for the fact that the game was closer than many people might have considered it to be. Nonetheless, we're looking good. Before we go to break, I have to mention that we are still covering baseball. They're heading into the ninth inning as we speak. Actually, no, we're well into the ninth inning. It's the top of the ninth, and there's already two outs. And guess who's at the plate right now trying to extend the game? Alex Rodriguez with the bases empty and the count 2-1 to the Orioles. And it looks like Brian Matsuis is Johnson. Pitching over to Alex Rodriguez, who's been really, you know, old. He's really showed himself as very old in this postseason so far. And it's down to the final strike, 2-2 the count to Rodriguez. Will the Orioles put this away and tie the series at 1 going to Yankee Stadium? It's down to one pitch here. Here it comes. A check swing, and it's a foul ball. So the thing about the Yankees, you know, they've been playing pretty well, and I got nothing bad to say about them right now. Honestly, they look good. Andy Pettitte pitched very well tonight. He looks old. Yeah, well, because he is old. He's like into his 40s already. So there you go. And yeah, you know, a lot of Oriole fans came out of the woodwork all of a sudden. I remember the stadium being a third full back in the day. Now you got all these guys waving the towels. So, hey, they came. Here comes a cut. And now a timeout here with this game. You know, typical AL baseball. It's like trying to execute one pitch is going to take 2 minutes to do. Jeez. Oh, gosh. Well, you're going to have to figure out what happens at in the next hour, because it's time for us to take our top of hour ID. Glad to have you with us, so it really is. Stay tuned. We'll give you the recap. We'll tell you who won the game and what happened there in the ninth inning. And then we'll take your telephone calls, 424-258-9251. Stay with us. Top of our ID next. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. It's 9 o'clock.
This is Matt Shapiro. Be sure to catch my man, biggest guy of them all, Dave Medina. Catch him in the city on Locker of the Week Radio. Be sure, baby.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Box of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
The guy can fly, vid, but he can't lay down a freaking bunt. I was laying down bunts in Little League.
They could have been down.
How did your team do last night?
It was a pathetic performance. I will admit that. We're not talking about the Devils.
If Westwood wins a major, I will take you guys to the U.S. Open next year. How about that?
Lee's going to shoot 61 all four rounds.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You just got to go buy your beach balls before you arrive at the fourth inning. I get it.
Oh, here we go. Here.
1, 2, 3. Mets. 1, 2, 3. Mets. 1, 2, 3. Belief. 1, 2, 3. Magic. 1, 2, 3. Ooga. 1, 2, 3. Shaka. 1, 2, 3. Gritty. 1, 2, 3. Duddy. 1, 2, 3. Let's do this, Mets! 2012!
And down goes Martin's wiener.
That's outrageous!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City. Brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
.901 in the city, Locks of the Week Radio. Good to have you with us here from West LA tonight. Recapping a semi-thrilling game between the New York Jets as they hosted the Houston Texans, the mighty number one AFC Texans on Monday Night Football. A game that was much more exciting than many people expected, and so it was a good show for everybody here. If you want to chat about the game with us tonight, we are at 424-258-9251. 424-258-9251. We expect to go to about 9:30 tonight, 12:30 on the East Coast. So if you have anything to say, bring it to us right here on this program. If everybody's kind and things go well, we might go to 10. I don't count on it right now for a couple reasons. Among them, the fact that I'm working on my fifth Coors beer. Not Coors Light, regular Coors beer with a little golden can. It's really nice. It's very smooth. A banquet beer. I don't know. What kind of banquet would it be? Some kind of cheap banquet in a senior center? I don't know. But it's good for the purpose. And the purpose was to just have something soothing and refreshing to drink on a night like this one. Yes, five of these beers. Each of these beers is 5% alcohol. And so that's not very much, right? But you know, you string together a few of them and then it starts to make a little bit of an impact. So good to have you with us tonight. If you want to chat with us, we're at 424-258-9251. Yankees lost tonight. A-Rod at the plate. He struck out. And the Orioles tie the series at 1, and they win the game 3-2. Camden Yards against the Yanks. The new format just for this year is 2-3. Two games at the lesser team's home, and three games total. Up to three games total at the better team's home. So that means that three games are remaining in the series at most. And those three games will take place at Yankee Stadium. And I'll tell you right now, I think the Yankees are going to take the series. There you go. See, I didn't really make a prediction on this series officially. But I really think the Yankees are going to be the team that wins the series out. And I don't know how much that really says about New York. But to me, what it says is it says that the Orioles don't have the pitching, and I really don't. They've managed to be competitive in these series, but I think they're winning. They're staying in these games with guile. Seriously, guile. G-U-I-L-E. Guttiness. Grittiness. You know, that kind of thing. Because the only real strength they have right now is their bullpen, and their bullpen, you know, that's not going to be enough. Their bullpen is pretty good. It's not good. It's not like Red's good, you know? It's not. It really isn't. It's not Tigers good. They're not that good of a bullpen. So, you know, you have a team that's relying on home runs, and what happens if you don't hit them? Well, Sunday's game is what happens when you don't hit them. You lose 8-2 or 8-3. Tonight, they got it done. They won 3-2. Give them credit. Oh, hey, they're back in the series. Da-da-da. But the Orioles are not here to stay. I just don't think this pitching is going to stretch out long enough to make it through a series. And remember, for them to win this AL Division Series against the Yankees, and as bad as the Yankees have been, as much as they're a home run happy team themselves, and as shaky as their rotation is, I mean, when it says a lot when Andy Pettitte is your second best pitcher. The guy is almost 50, and he's almost your best pitcher. I mean, that's unbelievable. But if he is almost your best pitcher, then that doesn't say much for the rest of your rotation, honestly. It really doesn't. So, with that said, I still think they're good enough to beat the O's, because the O's' rotation is just not exciting. Bruce Chen. Joe Saunders. With a high-profile spot in the rotation. I'm just not impressed. I'm really not. And so, all told, I think the Orioles are just not here to stay. And so I said, no matter who they play in the first round, even the Yankees, for whom I've already spoken about their flaws, I really didn't think the Orioles were going to hang around very long. They got a win, great, but now they've got 3 games at Yankee Stadium. 3 games. I mean, think about that for a second. They're going to go, and they're going to play 3 games in a row on 3 consecutive days. I believe. I'll check that, but 3 games in a row against the Yankees on the road. They couldn't sweep the Yankees in any series in the regular season. What makes you think that they're going to sweep the Yankees in the playoffs? And they don't have to do that here. They got to win 2 out of 3. But come on, winning 2 out of 3 on the road like that, not an easy task. And with the home crowd all extra pepped up for the playoffs, it's just so unlikely that the Orioles could really get it done. And they got a good lineup. I love Adam Jones. I'm a big fan. Andino is all right. He's good with me. I'm a big fan of that. I mean, I'm a decent fan of his. Jim Thome's a cool cat. He's not that good of a hitter. They've got a lot of good bats on the team. Mark Reynolds is hot and cold, though. He's going to drive him into the ground. Things like that. But the Orioles have a decent lineup, and they've been good hitting, good as a hitting team for the last like 3 or 4 seasons. But the pitching's got to be there, and their pitching is totally not right now. So I said, you know, how is that going to stretch out into a playoff series? And I said to myself, it's not. And even against a flawed team like the Yankees, I just don't see it. I'm sorry, I just don't see the Orioles getting it done here against New York by any means. So I really think that this is going to... I think they're going to... I mean, they'll be close in all the games, but I think the Yankees are going to win the series. And then they'll be really tested. Whoever they face, whether it's Detroit or whether it's Oakland, they will get some action from that series. I think so. Right now, I'm not seeing it. I really don't see where else we're going to go. It's not Bruce Chen. Different Chen. Oh, sorry. I'm 5 beers in. My apologies. It's not Bruce Chen. Okay. Well, it's not Bruce Chen. It is Drew Brees, who's on a fantasy team. You know, rooting for guys you hate because of fantasy football. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, next question. Next topic. Here's the deal. The MLB playoffs right now have looked a little weird. You know, it's just not that competitive. The first round of the division, which is called the Division Series in MLB postseason, it's just a bit of a mishmash. And I'm not surprised, really, because the last, like, 5 years, with a few exceptions, the Division Series has not amounted to much. Most of the series end in 4, some end in 3. And then you've got that rare series that goes 5 games. And what does it all mean? I don't know. But most of the series, like a good 80% of the series, end up going short series. So, you know, from that you can infer that the Division Series is usually not very exciting. And I think we're getting a lot of that here. It's just like, especially here with the Yankees and the Orioles. Oh, what if the Orioles win? What if? Do you think they're going to beat the Tigers or the A's? No. No. So I figure, you know, if you're going to get it over, if they're not going to be that good, you may as well go with the team that's got more overall talent, better pitching. And the Yankees right now have the better pitching, so I think they're going to make the move. So we go to the National League, and then you look at what's happening in the NL. You see that the Giants are really behind the eight ball. The Reds have looked so sweet against the Giants on the road at AT&T. I got to tell you, the Reds could have wilted in the spot. Two games on the road to start the series, but no. Everybody contributed. And I think among those contributors are, you know, guys like Hannigan and Drew Stubbs and all those cool cats who make up the lineup at Cincinnati. They do a great job. And they're continuing the job at AT&T. That's not easy to do when you can pile up runs at one of the best pitchers' parks in America. Boy, you are good. And the Reds have really shown me something so far in two games in the series. Just two games, but, you know, now they've got three straight that they could play at Great American Ballpark. Three in a row at your home. I mean, the odds of winning a single game out of three, pretty good. So the Reds are in good shape. I mean, I won't guarantee it right now. The Giants certainly have a chance to win this series because they've got a good pitching staff. But it's going to be an enormous climb to win three games on the road in a row. I mean, the odds of that happening are fairly slim, practically nil. I don't really know how it's going to happen. And that whole scene starts tomorrow, 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, wherever you are in the world of baseball. The Reds getting their first home playoff game of the season. They haven't won a home playoff game since 1995. The key word here is home. And for the Reds fans who have been so loyal through all the years, it really would be nice if the Reds could get them a home victory at some point. They really need it, obviously. It's the only way they advance to the NLCS. They've got to get that home victory. They only need one. But they're going to have three shots at it starting tomorrow. Yeah, hope that the Reds can hang on and muster together a good outing in that one. Yeah, if you want the pitching matchup for tomorrow's game, well, then I'm here to provide that to you as a service. Tomorrow for the Reds and the Giants. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Cincinnati Reds baseball is back and better than ever. But here you go. Your starters for tomorrow. Ryan Vogelsong against Homer Bailey. Yes, Homer Bailey, the man who threw the no-hitter at Pittsburgh for the Reds, but now is faced with a chance to close out this series against a guy who really has fallen on hard times in Ryan Vogelsong. How about them apples? That's a beauty. Oh, baby. You know, I'm so rooting for the Reds in that one. Oh, but God, it's going to be awesome. You know, it's just so great. The Giants are taunting the Dodgers all season. Oh, the Dodgers didn't make the playoffs. Ha, ha, ha. Then the Giants get embarrassed in two games at AT&T Park against the Reds. I mean, where would you rather be? Sitting at home watching this unfold, knowing your team wasn't good enough anyway, or being out there getting hammered by a team that clearly is better than you? I think I'd rather be the former. And so even though the Dodgers didn't make the playoffs, I don't think they're in the worst shape in the world. And next year is next year. It certainly is less embarrassing. I mean, it is embarrassing. I'll give you that. Not making the playoffs with all that talent. I don't know, it's embarrassing. I agree with that. But compared to where the Giants are, oh my gosh. I think the Giants have really hit them. It really just looked like they're fighting it. But the Giants aren't done. They play hard. I think they might even win game number 3. And then we'll see what happens in game number 4 here on this program. So, well, that's your baseball update. When we come back, we're going to bring up who's number 1 in college football. Stay tuned for all of it as we continue here in the city. We'll be back. Stay with us, 424-258-9251 if you want to chat with us. This is Dave in the City.
When I was young, I never needed anyone. making love was just fun. Those days are gone. Living alone, I think of all the friends I've known. But when I dial the telephone, nobody's home. Sometimes I feel so insecure, and love so distant and obscure remains the cure.
City Locks of the Week Radio. If you want to chat with us tonight, we're at 424-258-9251 on the program. If you want to, you know, keep bits about any of the particulars tonight with the Yankees, the Jets, and the whole thing. You know, it's so funny. The New York are completely shut out tonight. No wins among any of the New York teams. Well, that's a shame, isn't it? But tomorrow there is another day. Wait. There is another day, but the Yankees won't play until Wednesday. Oh, 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 oh. Tomorrow on the schedule, what you're looking at is the Giants about to get polished up by the Reds. I love that. And then the Tigers trying to put away the A's for good at Oakland. But you know what? Don't count out the A's. Do not count out the A's. The A's were in both of those games, even though they lost them all. And I think the A's could end up being very interesting at home at the Coliseum tomorrow in baseball. So the question was asked, who's number one in college football? The reason we asked the question is because three out of the top five were upset over the weekend, including number five, Georgia, who got humiliated at South Carolina. Just absolutely humiliated. What a joke of a game that was against Scar and the Gamecocks. Are you serious? They didn't even put up an effort against this team. But Steve Spurrier and Carolina look great. And I'm going to tell you, their defense is really on it this year. South Carolina, with that win, should have catapulted themselves into the top five. And thankfully they have. They are now number three for this week. Number four, Florida. Or is it number three? I think it's number, it doesn't matter. Florida State got bounced by North Carolina State on the road. But what an embarrassment. They had that lead. They didn't score a single point in the second half. They're done for that ranking. And then LSU, who was in the top five, also got upset by Florida at Tallahassee. No question. It was a road game. It's never easy. But if LSU was serious about a championship contention this year, they would have won that game. And they just don't look like they have it offensively. They look like they are lost. And they cannot defend a spread offense, of all things. And they looked shaky anyway. They were looking shaky against Towson State last week. And they did not get it done and by any means of way whatsoever. So they lost to Florida. They deserve to lose. And they are out of the top five, too. Finally, let's see. Florida State. No, it looks like that we're done here. I think there was one more that might have lost, but I forgot. So here are your top five as of right now. If you look at the AP top 25 in college football, number one is Alabama, who had an off week. Thank God for that. They seem to have the best week of them all because they didn't have to play, and they were out of it. Oregon has somewhat catapulted their way to number two, and why not? They've blown out every opponent they've faced so far. They played a lot of their schedule at home, however, so watch for that, because they may not last at number two. Number three is Scar. South Carolina, they earned it. They played some weak opponents in the beginning. But, you know, that game against LSU was... I'm sorry. The game against Georgia was pretty serious, and they're going to do it again when they play, you know, Florida and LSU, whoever, all that stuff. Florida is amazing because Florida had been looking like a dog team for most of the season, but we knew that they've been improving every week, and they've looked very good, and they're well coached, and all of a sudden they're number four in the AP poll. Give them credit. West Virginia, with no defense, but Geno Smith, who's an amazing Heisman Trophy candidate, has worked their way up to number four in the AP top 25. Congratulations to Florida for rebounding their program after a brutal season last year. Now they're at number four this year. West Virginia number five. K-State snipping behind at number six. And if they can keep winning the way they are, they'll be higher than that. Notre Dame is number seven. Not only in the AP, but in the USA Today coaches poll. And they've earned that too because their defense is seriously that good. I know they played some pretty weak teams in the middle of all that, but you know what? You still got to bring it defensively, and they've done it, and they look great. So now to the USA Today poll for the top five there. Number one, no debate, no thinking about it. It's Alabama every day, all day. No big deal. Oregon, number one. They got a first-place vote there. Again, the same situation. They've been blowing everybody out. The only thing about Oregon you got to watch for is, are they going to be able to handle a physical team like they were unable to do against Auburn a couple of years ago? I don't know. But, you know, nothing really has changed about the Oregon Ducks. So just see what happens if they play a physical team like SC or Stanford or even Arizona. Maybe they played already. Oh, they did, yeah. But SC and Stanford, you know, they might give them a run for their money. So watch for that. SEC teams, they might give them a tough time. Scar is number three in the USA Today poll. West Virginia's number 4, which I think is too high. Their defense is really terrible. How can you be number 4 in the national rankings if you have no defense? They really don't have defense at all. They had a great win against Texas, sure. But they gave them like 45 points in that win. Their defense is nil. I don't know how they're number 4 in that poll. Kansas State, number 5. Florida, number 6. Notre Dame, number 7. All that's pretty good. I agree with a lot of that. But still, West Virginia ranked way too high. I am telling you, West Virginia's due for a loss at some point. I don't know when that is, but it's going to happen. So we'll see what develops there. Good stuff. Anybody got a random question for me right now? Anybody? Random question? Ask me anything. Got about 5 minutes. Let me know what you think. Jets, they had a lot of resilience. I got to give it to them. They played well tonight. Just to recap our show tonight. Texans, off game, but you know, it's to be expected. The NFL's like that. There's a lot of weird games like that. It'll be let down games and so on, but they got through it and still won anyway, so give them credit there. They look good. Now they're going to go out and they're going to play. Well, damn, who are they playing? Houston playing the Green Bay Packers next week at Reliance Stadium. And anyway, they got to rely on Arian Foster, who was great tonight, to do it again against Green Bay and their tough defensive line, including Clay Matthews and all the rest, B.J. Raji and all that. It's a beauty. And then for the Jets, you know, whatever. You know, it's no big deal. We didn't think the Jets were going to get more than 6 wins anyway. What's the big deal? So with that said, they played resiliently. Their defense was not bad, and I think they look like they're going to be okay. They might have a shot at beating the Colts, and then that puts them as a 500 team, so we'll see what happens the rest of the way. You can't think of the Jets right now as a Super Bowl team, and they're not going to think of themselves that way. So life goes on, and they'll be good to go. Well, that was good stuff. I don't think I was sad that nobody called the show. I was sad that nobody popped in on chat. People are not listening to the Monday program, but hopefully you get a chance to listen to it and replay. Good times, good stuff. We'll be back on Wednesday where I will be much more sober. And, you know, it's just going to be a good program. So stay tuned for all that. It's really a lot of fun. We're glad that you were all a part of it. Thanks to everybody who stayed. You know, there weren't very many, but thanks to all who stepped in the chat tonight. It really was good. We hope you had a good time with the program this evening. That's all for now. We're going to go ahead and do a full program on Wednesday. We'll have much more to cover. Stay tuned for all that. Then we'll have Kevin on the Cape for random questions. Thanks again for everybody who listened. Have a wonderful evening. And we'll see you next time.